I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley, Kramer Sansone. We've had a lot of fun this first hour. Umps, robo-umps, horses, steroids, you name them. Let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, live from the ballpark. What's up, Vern?
Not too much, buddy. How are you?
Did you hear us talking horse?
I did.
What do you think about it? What do you? I mean, seriously. You're in a sport that deals with steroids. You're in a sport. Once you cheat, you're labeled a cheater. Now you got a horse. Big deal. I mean, the breeding. I mean, that you may think I'm joking. That's a big deal. This is rocking the horse world.
I don't think you're joking. I understand breeding. I understand.
It's like
horse
a life.
Racing.
Yeah. I mean, think about what this horse has given up.
Well, yeah, I understand. Could have been helping start a handful of other Mother's Day gifts for mother horses out there. Sure. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the kids. You know,
it rocks the world. Sports world steroids.
Rampant cheating like this. Yes. It's unfortunate, and you can't help but think of the kids.
Speaking of cheating, and it's not cheating, but because anybody can do it.
Nice segue.
Huh?
Speaking of this, not this, but.
I'm just saying, Vern. Give me a break. You tweeted out earlier, Mike Matheny seemed to acknowledge that Daniel Lynch was tipping pitches. We kind of heard that thing, too. That the
Nothing wrong with that.
Says,
but I just don't want you to put that in the ether that that's against any sort of rules.
I didn't say it is.
Because there are a lot of young baseball fans,
it's fine.
And you know this Gen Z.
No, yeah,
you know
yeah,
how touchy
yeah.
they are. Mm-hmm. And no, don't steal signs.
Let's do a steal.
Hashtag do a steal.
Hashtag do a steal.
There's video. There's video. You can find the video, I'm sure, on whatever social media account you decided to start. You could see video of Daniel Lynch tipping pitches last night. Now, I'm not going to pretend as if I'm sitting up there and I can identify it. No, I'm not saying that whatsoever. I mean, I can identify that he was getting squared up last night. And he was pretty heavy in the zone. But, you know, the kind of contact, the consistent, good, solid, thick contact that the Chicago White Sox were making last night, it said something. And I'm glad that Mike Matheny, with a big grin, Cheshire Cat kind of grin, when asked if he noticed anything when rewatching Daniel Lynch earlier today, he just kind of sat back in his chair, smiled, and shook his head and just said, yes, and I'll leave it at that. We need to address the problems and try to do it in a timely manner. You know, it's not easy, especially when a guy's a big old 6'6 lefty with a bunch of moving parts. It's not that easy for him to just fix something in his delivery when it's probably only happening on one pitch. Maybe it's an easy fix. You know, I was never a pitcher to begin with, let alone a good baseball player back in the day.
True.
So we'll see what kind of change he can make, if he can do it quick enough to make another start, because if he can't, Mike Matheny was already a big fan of Chris Bubich, and then the young man goes out last night and throws 5 2/3 out of the bullpen. He looked like the guy that Mike Matheny raved about last year. Mike Matheny, even though Chris Bubich was good last year, Mike Matheny would say, man, there's so much more in that kid. I have seen him so much better in side sessions and in bullpens. You guys haven't even seen the best of Chris Bubich. He says we got a little glimpse of that last night. And I know Matheny's a fan. I think Matheny's going to definitely be in the corner of maybe we give Bubich a look in a few days.
Yeah, he manned up. Even after the game, you know, Lynch acknowledges that. Hey, Bubich, you know, he saved the day. He saved our bullpen arms. I mean, what happened yesterday could have saved the game on Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, going
no,
forward.
No question.
Because the Royals have an off day Monday. It's important. But what he did yesterday was take one for the team. Obviously, the White Sox had not scouted him like they did Daniel Lynch. I'm curious how they got the
tipping. No, the White Sox know Chris Bubich well.
No, they know. They might know Bubich well.
How
do they know so much about Lynch, though? Lynch had one start, unless you're watching the minor league stuff. But I doubt he was tipping a lot then because that's in an alternative site. Those are not exactly accessible to the open person to go watch it.
No, so just in his last start.
Okay.
Just in his last start. You just look at that video and you can see a difference in the delivery when he's throwing the slider compared to when he's throwing the fastball. So if you're sitting up there as a fan, look, Tim Anderson, Nick Madrigal, Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, those guys are good when they don't know what's coming. When you can stand up there and the moment this guy starts his delivery, I can eliminate off speed and sit fastball. I mean, Jose Abreu was the MVP last year. You know how good Tim Anderson is. And again, I could go through the lineup again. No need to do that. When big league hitters that good can eliminate a pitch or two, they're going to tee off on you.
It's amazing. I mean, pitchers have enough to think about anyway because you're thinking about the opposing.
Impossible. It's impossible.
These guys are rock stars. I mean, this White Sox team, they can hit. I mean, this team obviously can hit. There's no anybody can hit. It doesn't matter which team. They're all professional baseball players. You got to think about that, and you got to think about what you're doing. It's like you think about the sports psychology, you know, that goes on now with everybody seeing sports psychologists and everything else. It is amazing thinking about the modern-day pitcher and just the thing, because hitters are looking for everything, because hitting is down in Major League Baseball. Pitchers are really dominating.
Right, I was going to say, I mean, hitting's even more difficult than pitching is. And pitching is mind-blowingly difficult to do the exact same motion, you know, 110 times a night, the exact same motion, but to throw 3 to 5 different kind of pitches out of that same motion, that's incredibly difficult. And you can understand why it takes a guy a little while, not only on a night, you know, to get into a groove on the mound, which is why they always say if you're going to get an ace, you get him early. But you can also understand why it takes a guy a while at the big league level to feel comfortable on that mound to deliver or have a consistent delivery. And when you have so many moving parts like the big old Daniel Lynch does, that's a lot to repeat, and to do it consistently is, as you're saying, very difficult.
Who was the pitcher that was telling him what he's going to throw? Was it Bauer or Greinke? I mean, they have the talent to do it, but they were saying exactly what they're going to throw.
Yeah, I think some of that's been overblown. You're talking about Zach Greinke. Some of it's been overblown. It's not as if they were consistently screaming fastball.
Yeah.
Sure, Greinke's giving him numbers, but they could have changed up the signs to keep the hitter guessing.
Vern, obviously, we'll get to something else here in just a second, but what's at hand? Everybody knows. This team is struggling at the plate at this time. It was all about Angel Hernandez last week. We'll get to umpires here in a second. Not about Angel, but just in general. But one run in the last 31 innings. I mean, it has been tough at the plate for the Kansas City Royals. Pressing too hard. I mean, a good thing is they got off to a great start where this losing streak didn't really hurt them in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Look, you know, grand scheme of things, 500. 500 on the 9th of May, we all would have taken that. But if you want to, you know, zoom in on the offense, there's a number of things that we could talk about. And it, sadly, it begins with Jorge Soler and Hunter Dozier and their inability to put together the kind of run that we all still, I think that's fair to say, right? Don't we? I mean, Bink, do you still believe that the Jorge Soler that he's been a majority of his career when healthy is who we'll see? Do you believe that Hunter Dozier, the guy that we saw in 2019, the guy that the Royals paid this offseason, do you still believe that stretch is coming from them?
I do, because they wouldn't be on a major league roster if they didn't see that happening, especially as front office. They're too smart with the players and with their money, especially given Dozier money. They could see it. I believe it's there. Again, if we're talking about something that's happened in July or August,
right?
You know, we got off to a great start. It just happens to happen now. Now, we don't know. Look at Mondi. Monty was would have gotten booed if Cardboard could boo last year, but he didn't, and then he turned around and had a just wonderful September, probably the best September, the best September he's ever had. And again, September baseball was different last year because I mean, it mattered. But the bottom line is, yeah, I believe they could do it. I believe this is a rough pass now, but it's a long season.
So if you believe that Soler and Dozier still have the ability to have a quality season and be the kind of line drive hitters that we know them to be, then I'll present the numbers of this team over the last seven games. They have the third best exit velocity in all of the American League. So even during this losing streak, they're still squaring up the ball. Unfortunately, those hard hit balls are not finding gaps. They're not clearing the wall. It's, you could say, tough luck. I mean, eight line drive outs is the third most in the American League. These numbers courtesy of the great Dave Holtzman of Bally Sports Kansas City. I mean, you're seeing not many home runs. You're seeing a lot of tough luck. And look, Jorge Soler, Hunter Dozier, they're still squaring up the ball more times than not. Now, Soler to me and Hunter Dozier, I'm sure some of it is upstairs. Maybe some of it is the business aspect of it. Jorge Soler coming up on free agency. Hunter Dozier just signed a big contract. But what we're seeing from the team as a whole, right, a team that during this seven-game losing streak is barely averaging 2.5 runs per game, what I'm seeing is, Whit Merrifield trusts his teammates. Carlos Santana and Salvador Perez, they trust their teammates. And I think that was on display early on this season when they would take their walks, they would advance runners, they would hit the sacrifice fly. But now as their teammates, Dozier and Soler, continue to struggle and the 7-8-9 of this lineup now are regressing to the mean, those all-stars at the top are trying to single-handedly carry this offense, and now that's not working out. So when you got the top three trying to do too much, you're not getting much of anything from the middle of the lineup, and then the bottom of the lineup is performing like a bottom of the lineup. Yeah, add that all up, and that's a tough stretch from an offense, and that's what we're watching right now.
We have two teams over 600 right now in the Red Sox and the Giants, so there's a lot of cities looking at their teams right now. It's just what happens in baseball. I think it's coming back to the pack. Some of these teams are – They're spending less money, but on a different side. Angels behind the plate, right? Did he earn?
I'm not sure. I believe
he should be.
Yeah. I believe he was supposed to be. That was the expectation.
Sure.
I cannot say for certain.
Well, the bottom line is this is not about him. This is about umpires in general. Kramer and I had a discussion about this earlier. Obviously, Kramer, former college baseball player, not a very good one, but he played. But the bottom line is he has his thoughts on umpires. I'm saying this, they're human beings too. So they carry all their normal human being stuff to work like everybody else does. That's why I'm a big fan of robot umps. I know they're trying it in A-ball. I don't know about you, you're a purist of the game. But again,
as far as strike zone?
Yeah, strike zone. Because we're seeing the traditionals. Kramer said he's traditionals, but we're okay with the seven-inning doubleheaders. We're okay with putting the guy on second in extra innings. I mean, there's things that are outside the normal of what we consider, tradition. Home plate being right or wrong, not taking a job away from any umpire. They'll still be there. To me, we're in 2021. We have self-driving cars. Let's do it.
Yeah, the people at home, the people in the stands with their cell phones on MLB.com.
The guy drunk at the bar.
Everyone can't know that a strike is a strike and then the umpire calls it a ball. We've just seen this in every single sport. When the viewer, when the bettor, especially with gambling, right? I mean, that to me is what's going to push this over the edge as gambling continues to just become legal in every single state. I think that will be the ultimate, that will be the final straw that breaks the camel's back. That's what will bring the automated strike zone to Major League Baseball, because there's going to be too much money riding on it, and you become somewhat silly when and if I know that this game is fraudulent, because the 0-2 pitch to Jose Abreu should have been strike three, but because it wasn't properly framed, or because of where the umpire was set up, or whatever the reason may be, it was called ball one, and on the next pitch, Jose Abreu hit a grand slam, and the Royals lost the game. So I think gambling will fix this issue, and I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you know how hot it gets up there. I mean, you're behind the plate. Here's the thing. Pitchers are getting better. Hitting's down in Major League Baseball. We're seeing pitchers dominate. Look at all the no-hitters that are being thrown now. I mean, just go and standing in a batting cage, even when it's like 70 miles an hour, and then just standing there and seeing exactly where it went. Can you imagine 100 miles an hour? Like, if it painted the edge of the corner, I mean, it's so difficult, yeah, man, with the human eye, man.
But here's my question. The question that I have is, we all watch the At-Bat app or go to MLB.com and watch the game on game day to see exactly where that pitch hits. We've also seen the replay when it comes to tennis, right? If that ball even grazes the line, it's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, or is it in?
Or in, I think, if it hits the line.
Yeah, it's in, right, if it hits the line.
You're using
in
tennis with me here.
So my question is, with the strike zone, if the ball just grazes the outside part of the strike zone, is that a strike, or does the entire ball need to be? My only question with the automated strike zones is, are we going big zone? Are we going very tight zone? I'm a favor of a big strike zone. Let's get these guys up there hacking. But I'm also in favor of moving the mound back,
really,
as well. I think that has to happen because, I mean, the numbers say hitting is damn near impossible right now because everybody throws 95-plus miles per hour with a nasty breaking ball. You're just guessing. Again, that's what launch angle, the bat path. That's what this is all about is – man, this is so very difficult. Let's just find a way to keep the bat on a certain plane in the strike zone for as long as possible, just in case we make contact, because this is where we believe the ball's going to be. The art of hitting is completely changed from what it was when we were growing up, where you were, you know, just trying to hit the ball back up the middle. Now you're just guessing up there because everybody's coming with gas.
It's crazy. So you're okay with that? They're trying that in low levels of the minor league, which is great because they can do all these tests. And, you know, some they'll use, some they won't. They're testing out home run derby as well. Now, again, a lot of these things are tests. We'll just see what happens. And if a lot of these things happen, some things they don't happen. I mean, it's that simple. The home run derby, I'll be honest with you, Vern, you might hate it, though.
No, I don't hate it. It's like the shootout in hockey. Look, the reason why I know personally, you know, I call myself a baseball purist because, man, I love the record book. That meant a lot to me growing up. Those names, where they stand, the 500 home run. The record book has been ruined already. I mean, a 60-game season, steroids, Coors Field. I mean, we can go on and on. There's so many aspects of baseball that have ruined the record book up until, you know, 1994. Everything before that's what it was about. That's the old baseball. Now it's a new day. It's about entertaining people. It's about bringing people to the ballpark. It's still a beautiful game. The game is still great. You just need to present it in a different fashion. We don't need to focus on, you know, Barry Bonds. You know, 762, that doesn't mean anything to anyone. So the record book isn't important to me anymore. Now it's just about keeping the game interesting and keeping fans coming to the game on a consistent basis because I think we've all had enough of, you know, 8,000, 9,000 at the ballpark. Man, there's too much supply, not enough demand. So let's take away a little bit of that supply, build up the demand.
And people like runs. They like to go out there.
Yes,
to the ballpark
they do. And
be
and
there.
They like home runs.
Yeah.
But my issue is you can't do the home run derby thing if you're playing 162. Because I don't want Jorge Soler up there for a 10 swing round, letting it fly before that oblique rips apart. You would have to cut the season down drastically. And, you know, some of it would turn into beer league softball. You would have one of those guys almost on your team that isn't
a
talented ball player. You're not going to have your shortstop up there just swinging away after he just played nine innings. So to adopt that home run derby, I think the game and the season would have to change drastically.
I'm with you on the record book. I've always said that difference between football and baseball is the records. We're always hallowed in baseball. Football, yeah. Not so much. It's about what we're doing weekly because fantasy football takes over. Like
weekly, no-hitters don't matter anymore.
No, they
because
don't.
It's so easy nowadays to throw a no-hitter.
No, they don't
because
matter.
Because everybody has velocity. These guys are up there swinging for the fences because they know they don't have much chance if they do something else, at least don't have much chance of getting money. So you got four no-hitters into the first month of the season? I mean, come on.
I know. It's just like in football, we just care about that week. What happened last week? This week, when Adrian Peterson was going for the record rushing. No one cared. You know, it's all about what you, because they've expanded from 14 to 16.
I mean, that's happening in the NFL, too. Yeah. I mean, 4,000 yard passer, that's going to be nothing moving forward. I mean, 5,000 yards is going to be somewhat normal with 17 games.
Man, you should have 1,000 yards because 1,000 yards maybe get you on the bench as well. So,
1,000 yard receiver used to be a huge deal. This year, I do not. 17 games, there's going to be so many 1,000 yard receivers.
It's fantasy football. What happened last week? All right, Vern, good luck today at the ballpark today. Hopefully, the Royals can end this slide at home. It's not been a good homestand, 0-6 homestand for the Royals. Hopefully, good pitching today for Mike Minor. Their ERA is 2 points higher at home than on the road, which is really, really weird considering Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, no doubt.
Vern, take care. And Vern's On Deck show start at noon. Take care, buddy.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
All right, Vern. Happy Mother's Day to your mother.
Yeah, right back at you.
Yeah, take care, man.
All right, buddy.
We're seeing steroids in horse racing, as we talked about earlier. Medina Spirit may have to get rid of that, so it is hitting baseball. Vern makes some good points there, some very good points about baseball and how we care about the record, and sometimes we don't. We'll discuss that next.
Big Sunday.
Well, Kramer, we've seen steroids now in horse racing. Any thoughts there on Vern? He made some good points. I mean, again, we care about the stats as much because we used to. Someone gets close to that 500 home run plateau, you stop the press.
Well, I mean,
you go live and see what they're doing. Just like Bonds, you watched it live. Or like when Sosa and McGuire were going back and forth, they stopped what you were doing to see if they hit a home run or not.
I mean, honestly, from what he also pinpointed about, he said steroids era, maybe even the Coors Field. It's kind of like putting our Pujols, hopefully he signs the Rockies, hopefully he can get that 700 mark by just going to play for the Rockies and that altitude where you can send the balls out. But an easy fix, though, is make the barrel of the bat bigger if you want to do that, if you want to make contact with the ball.
You in favor of moving the mound back like they're trying that, too?
I mean, no, but I mean, if it's going to make the hitting production a possible thing, then maybe yes.
Okay. I know they want to see more runs, more home runs. People buy tickets to the ballpark to go do that. But hitting is down this year. You're seeing no hitters all the time. Cleveland hit no hit twice this year, to be honest with you, and you can understand why with that lineup. Run production is sometimes tough. I mean, tipping the pitches was Daniel Lynch. Now, obviously, there wasn't time for his own players to talk to him because that's up to the catcher at that point, the tipping the pitches, and they can't always tell what they're doing. But these teams pick up on little things. It's so difficult to repeat the same motion all the time. I can't imagine what goes through the mind of major league pitchers. That is such a – it's why they get paid the big bucks. It's such an exact science, repeat delivery. I mean, just think about what you do and try to repeat the same thing exactly. Now, I mean, the beer, the same way, or the remote, the same way. But if it's a little bit different, guess what? You're tipping what you're doing. It is very difficult to do the same thing over and over without tipping. Now, some players jack around with it, like Greinke or whatever, Bauer, and they say, fastball, you know, they're screwing around because they're tired of teams, you know, watching their every move. It's like the Astros. They clearly probably were doing this. All the teams do this. They look for the little signs. Players talk to each other and they're walking off the mound or walking off the batter's box. Whatever, they talk to the player coming before, like he touches his hair when he's throwing fastball.
Well, it's kind of easy if you're on, say, if you have a runner on second base and you have a guy batting, and you can easily do like the open hand, closed hand of if it's an off speed or if it's going to be a fastball. You can easily do that to try to communicate with the batter. I mean, I've done it before too. So it's not like you always want to get an advantage out there. And tipping the pitches, you figure it out, it's perfect, so you know what's going on.
But a lot of times the teammates help you with that. You know, they talk to you about
it. It's a team effort, of course.
Or other pitchers. You know, they're sitting there on the edge of the dugout. They're watching what you're doing.
Cut that out. You're tipping your pitch right there.
Yeah, I mean, this happens quite a bit. Self-policing with, you know, guys in the dugout saying, hey. And some guys want to hear it. Some guys don't. Some guys will wait till after the start or whatever. They don't want to talk to anybody during the game. I get that. But if you're tipping your pitches and somebody notices a good hitter, just listen to him.
It's not like no one can actually tell Daniel Lynch the other day to where it's like, hey, you're tipping your pitch, because he was pulled in the first inning. So it's not like he could have at least had someone in the dugout. Yeah, there's no chance right there. I wouldn't even say if the catcher at the time could even figure it out. Because, I mean, clearly they're just trying to get the strike across, but, I mean, they're just hitting it.
I mean, this is trash can banging without trash can banging. It's perfectly
exactly.
legal. Perfectly legal.
This is legal. This is definitely legal.
Perfectly legal.
Now, if it's somebody hearing a bang, bang, bang. This is a smart thing to do.
Yeah, banging the trash can.
It's not. That's cheating.
Or wire, putting a wire on you.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
Feel a vibration to say, oh, this is a changeup. I'm going to hit a home run here.
Let's go to the phone lines. Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, Bink and Kramer. Nice conversation today on this, umpire thing. And then happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Absolutely.
I grew up playing a lot of Little League baseball and some high school baseball. And, you know, I just love to play. Play wiffle ball in the back. You don't see kids doing that no more. They've got that Urban League Academy going. I think that's a really cool thing, and people should promote that. Get them kids out there to play ball. If anybody ever has not been out there, you need to go by there and check out the Urban League Academy. It's a really, really cool place. And you know, I was just wondering, you know, if you
I can't hear you very well, Big T. Oh,
can you hear me now?
I can now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You were tipping your call.
Oh, I'm sorry. So back in 14 and 15, you know, the computers couldn't figure this out. Now everybody wants to go to computers. You know, how's that going to work out? And I just remember back in the day, Gene Mock and Billy Martin and Herzog and all these different people coming out, turning their hats around and arguing with the umpire. Now, if we go to all that, that's going to take that element away. You don't have a manager come out there to argue with the umpire. It's just going to be so generic and boring. And people better hope, not wish what they wish for, you know, because sometimes when you wish for something like that, the game just gets destroyed. And, you know, maybe I can interject one thing with a computer. Maybe we could disassemble Dozier and Soler. And just reprogram them to make them better hitters, because they're not hitting right now. We need robots. And if we're going to go to the games, let's just take all the players out and make them all robots. Let's just make it all laser. And let's just take the element.
It's the game of battle bots.
Yeah, let's just make it the battle bots and the Jetsons and Mr. Spacely. And you know, it'll be like, Lost in Space. It'll be like, oh, there's an out at the plate. No, he's safe. It'll be like, danger, Will Robertson, danger, Will Robertson. So I hate this. I hate that they're going away from this.
So you like being frustrated, though. You like that. You like being pissed.
Well, you know, if you take away the lasers, and if you put the lasers and everything in there, and it's just ball one, strike one, ball two, strike two, you're out. Why have a stand? You're not going to hear no boos or pissings or you suck and get out of here, huh? We're going to throw batteries at you like the Philadelphia fans. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it just seems weird that we've come to this, and this is our future, that we're going to take the element of the human element away of baseball. What better? What day, when you go buy your ticket, you just go out there and you want to get away and you look at the scoreboard now. It don't even look real. It looks like a hologram. I mean, I'm not bagging on that. It looks beautiful because we got one of the best stadiums, pristine, but everything's just going so generic and so gray, and it's just going to be like Soylent Green. You know, it's like, what, we're actually eating humans? You know, come on, baseball. You can get this together. And the Royals, I want to tell you one thing. You're in this slump right now. You're sucking. You're sucking bad. But you know what? Today's Mother's Day. We could go out there and get that victory. And when I was a little kid growing up, and my manager used to tell me, Big T, don't worry about the umpires. You can't control the umpires. Matter of fact, if you get on the umpire's bad side, you're going to make your day even worse, boy. So buck up, pull your bootstraps up, and quit blaming the umpires. Let's grip it and rip it. Let's win. How about offense go out and do something today? How about rattle them sticks together for all your beautiful mothers out there who treated you well and made you peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and held you when you were sick? Let's go out there and reward them, and let's go out there and break that streak today. And as always, let's go Kansas City Royals.
Good stuff, Big T and Shawnee. Yeah, I mean, you know, I disagree. I'm a fan of the robot umps. I want to see a game called right. Yeah, you won't have the umpire, they've kind of limited that anyway because they toss, you know, regularly. And you can't argue on, you know, the replay. They've taken some of that out, but I guess that is fun when you've seen the minor league highlights coming in or even professional, to throw in your hat, picking the base up, basically having a show or doing a show out there. That stuff's fun, but I'd rather have the game called right.
Well, okay, so if you say you have Robo ump,
I want my pitcher having strikeouts instead of walking when it was a strike.
Hey, Bink, save your Robo umps out there right now. Say it's a fastball in the corner, and 3/4 of the ball is on the in the strike zone. Would you classify it as a strike, correct?
Yes.
Now, okay, so now we're in the exact same situation, but 3/4 of the ball is on the outside of the strike zone, but there's still like that 1/4 of the ball that's on like the edge of the strike zone.
That's the part that's going to have to be corrected. It's a part that's gonna. It's
would that be a ball or a strike though?
Above my pay grade there.
And I feel figured
out.
I feel like with robo umps, that's gonna be a hit and miss call to where it's like, hey, this is still in the strike zone, but yet it's a little bit further out of the strike zone to where this is gonna be a ball now.
Oh, it's not gonna be perfect. They switched to this. That's why they're testing it out now.
That's just a factor of what you're going to have to do with this robo ump. And I mean, I'd rather have the call be ridiculously bad or ridiculously good, rather than seeing a computer fail because 3/4 of the ball is on the inside of the strike zone.
Well, people
are
obviously tired of Angel Hernandez. I mean, that was something that was riding people on Thursday and Friday. I mean, they couldn't get that out of their heads. And then they were shocked that he's still in town because that's new COVID rules. You don't leave after every series. You stay in town. So you don't have that anymore. I mean, you don't like it. You want the calls right, but you complain about the umpire. But yet you don't want robo umps to get it correct. What do you want? Do you want to complain or do you want to get it right? That's my question.
I mean, of course,
is it more fun to complain?
It makes it more entertaining because I mean you're going to see ejections, you're going to see arguments, you're going to see
live longer if you don't worry about it. You know?
I mean that's true, but it's taken an element out of the game that I mean of course we haven't really seen many. I think this is the first year.
But baseball's
since last
already
year.
Done that, though. They've already taken that out.
But there's been more ejections and stuff because of bad calls.
You put
calls
a guy on second base.
Year.
What would you have done if this would have happened like 20 years? What? What are they doing? Not you, Kramer, because 20 years you'd be a baby. But
I'd be 4 years old. Yeah, 20 years ago. Wow.
We'll say 5 years ago. It's hard to use examples with you kids. It is.
I thought it was funny. Vern said something about the Gen Z's generation. That's part of me. I'm Gen Z. I'm trendy. I'm hip.
You are your gym selfie taking dude.
Right
Tide
back at you,
eater.
Bud. I've actually gotten you to take some gym selfies here once in a while.
No, I take
a
picture of the equipment saying you ought to look at this gym. I'm not in those pictures.
I have a picture of you flexing in the mirror on my phone. You may post it to social media right now because
I don't because that was all in jest.
No, right.
To tease you.
Uh-huh. No, I have this picture on my phone of you
Stop.
Just flexing.
You don't either. You made it up. You photoshopped it.
All right, how about this? I'll post it on social media.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Because it's not true. Don't do it.
We'll see.
I wouldn't. If it was you. Aaron Rodgers, we made a big deal about Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Where's this bad boy going to end? I have no idea. We discuss that next.
Bink Sunday.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday. Jay Binkley, Kramer Sansone, Josh Fernier with the On Deck Show. Coming up in 21 minutes as the Royals try to end their slide. Here's the tweet I was looking for. Is Ken Rosenthal on May 7th, which was a couple days ago. How's this for parity? He says, through yesterday's games, no team had a .600 winning percentage. It's the earliest end of the season, both by date and by games played, in which no team was above .600 when every club had played at least one game. Per stats, STATS. Two teams are above the .600 threshold now in Boston and San Francisco. The Royals were living above .600.
I'm actually shocked that it's Boston and also the Giants that are above .600 right now. And I know that the A's
Did you see this coming from
A's,
Boston?
The A's are at .600 right now, but Boston, no.
They stopped spending money. They went backwards, and look what they're
And they're actually doing good. They became an analytical baseball team, Bink.
See, I believe in that, too.
That's huge.
It's hard not to be an analytics guy. Are you an analytics guy now?
I do enjoy watching it, but I think longevity of it, you're not going to get a full season off analytic baseball. So we've seen it with the Rays the past few years. And we also seen it with the Athletics making it to the postseason and not advancing in the postseason.
I mean, I would have said the Astros won a world title by being analytical.
No, they're not. They're
but they cheated.
They cheated. They also tanked, and they they got first-round draft picks and had good talent.
The Dodgers are very analytical, by the way.
No, and they're very spending money because they're the worst team in baseball
right
analytical.
Now. They're also analytical.
Right now, the worst team in baseball is
and Kershaw
besides the Tigers.
Like bunting when you're up.
That's true. But the Dodgers and the Royals were hot to start the season. Now they're not the start. They're for the progression of the season.
Where's Aaron Rodgers end up? Because it's funny because we took a call. Were you with me when I took the call or on the draft show about how we weren't worried about Aaron Rodgers going to Denver?
Yes, that was me.
Okay. And we said, well, who said that? Because I think everybody's a little bit, okay. You're waiting to see. You're waiting to see, like, the Aaron Rodgers drama is interesting because where's he going to go? It's like Deshaun Watson early on before everything. You're like, where's he going to end up? Could he change the balance of power in the AFC? Because these guys, and Russell Wilson, back when he was going to be moved, he's clearly not at this point, but you were like, okay, where's the balance of power going to shift with quarterbacks? The balance of power would shift with Aaron Rodgers. Now, Coward's out here saying that he should go to the Giants because two number one picks next season. They got that extra number one pick for next year because of that trade up for Justin Fields. But it's changing the balance of power with any team that Aaron Rodgers goes to. Clearly, Denver is perfect for Rodgers.
Not if you want
one,
a
he
Super
wants
Bowl,
to
though.
Be closer out west. They're fourth under the salary cap. They don't have the two ones next year, but they do have a one. Aaron Rodgers, they did this before with Peyton Manning. Like, they've done this before.
And I honestly feel like if you are a team right now who's trying to win and also have built your team around a winning mentality as of late, if you're the Miami Dolphins, I would make a trade for Aaron Rodgers right now. You have the capital for it. You can even, if you want to, just trade Tua. If you want to win a Super Bowl now, you got to do it.
I mean, I think they could have done differently with the quarterbacks they have had they not gotten defensive mind with Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't matter. Like, having Vic Fangio there doesn't matter. He's good anyway. We already know he's good.
But the thing
it's
is,
all in quarterback. We already know he's good. So developing a quarterback, you don't have to develop him.
Well, and also, if you're the Broncos, too, looking for this, you should have made this deal right before the draft. That's when you had your time to shine. I know they couldn't.
Money, $38 million on the cap this year.
Yeah, I
know. Green Bay. It's going to be after June 1st. That's why it's all quiet right now.
Well, it's quiet right now because, I mean, you got that cap hit that the teams do not want. But if you're Rodgers, I wouldn't want to go to Denver right now. If I'm Aaron Rodgers,
you wouldn't want Cortland Sutton.
I'm staying away from the AFC West. Even if you even have a Tennessee going to the Raiders, I'm staying away from the AFC West because of one person only, and that's the Chiefs
Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes.
But these guys have egos, though.
But also, too, I mean, it would be a dream come true for the Broncos to get a quarterback since Peyton Manning that could lead them to the Super Bowl. But you're also in division with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, granted, State Farm would absolutely love him going to the AFC West. But still, if you're Rodgers, you do not want to go to the AFC West. You wanted to go to the 49ers.
See, I differ in that because I think when you're Rodgers, you don't care. It's like Mahomes. Some guys just don't care.
But if you have a better bet to get to Super Bowl when you're in the NFC rather than the AFC, I would want that.
But Denver's going to have some. I mean, Von Miller, I mean, he's on his last legs coming back there. I mean, Cortland Sutton, you're going to pay him again. You got to pay the Piper. But Rich Eisen said this past week on the Rich Eisen show about Aaron Rodgers.
Certainty over his career endgame and not being told by Green Bay when it's over, but him saying he knows when it's over in Green Bay. He'll force it. If he wants to go to a new spot, he'll force it right now. And I heard he would happily go to Denver because they've got the weapons, they've got the spot. He doesn't care that it's in Mahomes' division. He would actually love to personally beat Mahomes. He would love to send Mahomes to the wild card every single year. This is what I've been told.
See, they're friends. They do the State Farm commercial, but they're competitors as well. They're competitive. They want that. They welcome it. Like, when you're these elite quarterbacks, Super Bowl winning, like Aaron Rodgers, MVP, you don't care who else is out there because you think you're the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, some, they might cower to it, but some are willing to challenge. Like, Mahomes wouldn't care who's in his division. He wouldn't care.
Well, Mahomes,
he'd go out and do his business.
You also got to think, too, the competitive factor. It actually might help for both sides and both parties for each team. And even if that even means him going to the AFC West. Like, that, I think, honestly, it could help out Aaron Rodgers to drive that factor of saying, hey, this is a team that actually wants to win. They're trying to bring me into this team that clearly wants to win rather than Green Bay saying, hey, we're going to help you out a little bit, but then also sign players or draft players of needs that can't really help you on your side of the field on offense.
Boy, he was bent about Jordan Love.
Oh, he was.
Their quarterback, they have one quarterback. Well, they have two on their roster. They have one that didn't want to be there, and Aaron Rodgers, and they have Jordan Love.
And Jordan Love was inactive for almost all of last season.
They have to decide what they're doing. Again, the quarterback spins everything. You know, Rodgers, you know, usually you can't really wind your way out of town. We're seeing that happen. Deshaun would have already been gone had he not had the issues. He would have been. I think Houston would have traded him at this point.
At this point, yes.
I doubt he ever plays for Houston again. I think they'll find a way, a deal. Davis Mills will probably. Houston's going to be a lot of trouble. Did you see 17% of the people approved draft, where Chiefs are like 99% fans? Like Arrowhead Pride had the deal and the Arrowhead Pride versions around the country, SB Nation sites. 17%.
Wow. That's just wild.
But if you're Denver, aren't you pushing all in?
Yes.
I mean, if you're facing.
I think if you're any team in the NFL, you got to push all in. Because, I mean, you don't want to have a. Like, even the worst team in Jacksonville is still trying to push and go all in no matter what.
The Raiders were the favorites. Now it's Denver. And he's, you know, supposedly it's Denver, Vegas, and the Niners. Obviously, the Niners aren't going to work out. They're going a different direction with the quarterback. They'll have Jimmy G, groom, Trey Lance. They're going a different direction. The Raiders make sense because they haven't fulfilled their promises. You're still paying John Gruden all that cash, that $100 million contract. Can't really get out of that.
I mean, I do admit the Raiders have improved every single season so far that John Gruden's been there. I mean, that's a fact.
But Kramer, it's a team that can't go to the playoffs.
Well, it's because the defense, Bink, and they've assessed that this offseason by one, well, at the end of last season, firing Paul Gunther.
So that's
hiring Gus Bradley.
That's their only problem.
Yeah, no, seriously. Their only problem is defense. Go look back. They're the worst defense the past 3 years. Go look back at it. And their offense is in the middle of the pack, and this offense that the Raiders do have can beat the Chiefs, and they should have done it twice last year. And the defense is the reason why they lost the game against the Chiefs in Las Vegas.
Would you be shocked if Aaron Rodgers did end up in Las Vegas? Like, at this
yes
point,
no.
He's got $240 million in the bank. He doesn't care.
Because clearly Aaron Rodgers.
If people say, well, he didn't want to go and lose. He's got the money.
Aaron Rodgers
he
is clearly
care.
Better than Derek Carr. So, honestly, yeah. I would be in favor for it. But, I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it does happen, yippee.
Denver makes a bunch of sense since they've done it before.
Yes.
And they have the young pieces that they're eventually going to have to start paying here.
And how many quarterbacks they've had since Peyton Manning, like 15 or 20?
And you haven't beaten the Chiefs since 2015. It's
when Peyton Manning was at the helm?
How old were you in 2015?
2015, I was a senior in high school, so I was like 17, 18.
That's my point.
I'm 24 now.
Yeah, and you'll be having your reunion here soon. And they haven't beaten the Chiefs. Aaron Rodgers makes a lot of sense to them. He just does.
Yeah, no, it does.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Coming up next, Kramer and I will get you primed for the Royals and the White Sox. The Royals really need this win today. Bubich helped that cause by selling the bullpen yesterday.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Bank Sunday. Josh Vernier in 7 minutes for Vern's On Deck Show. Here, Vern, tomorrow as well, 7:45 on Festival in the Morning. Whit Merrifield Show, 11 a.m. with Cody and Gold. Denny Matthews, 3 o'clock with The Drive. The Royals in Detroit tomorrow as they continue this AL Central run they've been on ever since back on April 30th. April 30th, all the way until May 18th, they're not playing anybody outside of the AL Central. Of course, there's an off day mixed in there. But Detroit, 3 in Detroit, who looks like they're going to have the Twins game canceled today because of rain. 46 and rainy in Detroit, Michigan. Detroit's kind of like not a present to go to this time of year. You never know what the weather's going to be. It's going to be in the 50s and 60s. It's going to be a little cooler. I mean,
50s, 60s, could sleet, could snow.
I call that perfect, but regardless, that's me. 3 in Detroit, then 4 in Chicago. So there's still time here. Detroit, the Royals have had a lot of success. Detroit is the feel-good team coming up for the Kansas City Royals. They're 4-0 against the Detroit Tigers. Keep them down. You know, they're in their heads. Beat the Tigers. I mean, that's positive, right? Positive spin. The Royals going to Detroit. Turn things around, get a little mojo going before they head to Chicago for 4.
You need.
Chicago's been a problem.
Chicago's been a huge problem.
The Royals were 1-9 against the White Sox last year. They've been a giant problem. They're cocky. They're starting to feel themselves a little bit.
And they're going to keep feeling themselves if they end up still sweeping the Royals here.
Of course they are. Did you see them yesterday? They were very excited after that win. But Chicago White Sox, now how good they're going to be, but it's an interesting deal. Tony La Russa coming back, great Hall of Fame manager coming back. He wasn't 100% sure of the extra inning rules. I don't know if you saw that recently. He didn't know you could.
He didn't know you could actually go further back in the order if your pitcher is.
It's just, sometimes there's rules.
That's a thing with like the National League parks when you're there. That happens.
But the Royals.
Probably forgot that since he's a National League minded guy. He's like, oh, I got to keep my pitcher out there. It's okay.
It's kind of fun though. But anyway, sliding. They're 1-8 now in this divisional gauntlet. They were pretty good against the division until that April 30th game against Minnesota. And, okay, that was chalking it up. One loss, okay? Oh, okay, one loss to the Minnesota Twins. What'd they do? They went around just like Royals baseball is. They lose 9-1 that Friday in the Twin Cities. They come back out, hammer the Twins 11-3. Danny Duffman. The Duffman stopped everything. They went 11-3. Then they lose 13-4 that Sunday. And they haven't seen a win since last Saturday, back on May 2nd. It's been all losses since then. Mike Minor goes against Lucas Giolito. Remember, they'd won 17 straight against left-handed starters. The White Sox had. Last year, they went on a stretch of, 20 games, something like that. They're good. Minor stopped that, stopped the bleeding. It's about stopping the bleeding, having some positive mojo going to Detroit. Not saying anything's a guarantee with Detroit going in there. I mean, we could look at it on paper, say the Royals dominate the Detroit Tigers, which is true at this point, but you are playing a professional team. The Royals are down. But, hey, the Twins were down before they played the Royals. They had a nice 10-2 victory over the Indians before they played the Kansas City Royals, but they start feeling good. And, by the way, Byron Buxton's on the IL again. Imagine that. I was putting an all-IL team together with Vern yesterday. All these guys that consistently, like Byron Buxton, on the IL again. It's amazing how good that guy is and how he's always on the IL. We could put Judge and Stanton on that list, too, on that team. It would be a great team.
Yeah, the all-IL team.
We couldn't play, though. We could never play, though.
Never play because, of course, they're on the IL, Bing.
Regardless, time for the Royals to end that slide against the Chicago White Sox today. Get a little feel-good against Detroit. But, again, on paper, looks great. But you got to go out and pass the test. But four against Chicago. Before the Milwaukee Brewers for two, and then it's back to the AL Central with three against the Detroit Tigers. So Detroit Tigers coming up quite a bit for the boys in blue. Josh Vern, you're the On Deck Show, coming up here in just a second. Thanks to Vern, speaking of Vern, for joining the show today as we talk robot umps. Thanks as always, Kramer. And thanks to the moms out there for everything you've done, all the practices you've been to, everything you do as moms. We appreciate it.
Yes, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Vern, next.
Big Sunday. I would work with it. So we went to